Thank the Lord for everyone that's here today, for God's faithfulness to us. And I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm real happy about that. And I want to talk today about our reward. I want us to turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter. I want to begin reading at the first verse, Matthew 6, verse 1. If you have it, you might read it for us. So he's telling us, this is Jesus talking here, and he says, I want you to pay special attention that you do not your alms before men.
To be seen of them.
Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven.
Therefore, when thou doest thine alms,
do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men.
Verily I say unto you,
they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself, he shall reward you openly. And when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when you've shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, he shall reward thee openly. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. Now drop down to the 16th verse, read that. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. So he's got here a few things about us as human beings. Number one, when you're praying, when you're giving, he's concerned about how you give. Don't do like the hypocrites. When you're praying, don't do like the hypocrites. And when you are fasting, don't do like the hypocrites. And I thought, as the Lord brought this thought to my mind, I thought that here these individuals are going out into the street. This is what these people have done. They've gone out to the street and let everybody know how spiritual they are. You might say that. Put that in quotations. They let them know, I'm so spiritual that, you know, I'm giving. Did you see how much money I put in the offering? Maybe fold a $100 bill and let everybody see it as you walk down the aisle, lay it in the offering plate so everybody will know exactly how much you gave. That's not according to what the Lord wants us to do. That you have your reward. They have their reward. There is something that they are desiring from men, so therefore they're getting all the glory from men and not from God. Our desire should be, Lord, by your help, by your grace, I want to receive not the reward that man can give to me, but the reward that God himself can give to us. And also the Lord brought to my mind that the majority of the folks there, I wanted to hear if these hypocrites, Pharisees, whoever they were, that were praying and wanting everybody to know what they were doing, I wonder how many people knew them. You know, when you know somebody, don't you? And you know, I thought of it like this. The majority of the people that we come in contact with on a daily basis, in the general context of things, we don't even know them. When we go to the grocery store, the cashier, whoever it is at Home Depot or wherever we go, we don't know those people. But you know what we try to do, what human nature is to try to impress people we don't even know. And if we're not careful, we'll have a greater concern about these people that I don't even know their name, what they think about me, than what God thinks about me. And what we're to understand is that that is just a trick of the enemy, that I'm concerned about all my peers, and I'm less concerned about what God thinks about me, because God understands where I'm coming from. And he understands how I feel, and I justify myself by what I want God to do. I justify myself because I want, when we look at all what other people, pray for us. When we look at what other people are doing, we want people to be concerned about us and be concerned about the things that we're concerned about. And what does it say here? I have my reward. Let's go a little further here. When we take into consideration what a reward is, it is something that we desire, something that we want. Let's turn to Matthew 4, verse 8. This is the temptation of the Lord.
Again,
the devil taketh him up
into an exceeding high mountain,
and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world
and the glory of them.
And he saith unto him,
all these things
will I give thee
if thou wilt
fall down and worship me.
Then said Jesus
unto him,
get thee hence,
Satan,
for it is written,
thou shalt worship the Lord thy God,
and him only
shalt thou serve.
Then the devil
leaveth him,
and behold,
angels
came and ministered unto him.
And he said here, what did he say?
He said, all this will I give thee,
if thou wilt
fall down and worship me.
He took him into an exceeding high mountain
and showed him
all the kingdoms
of the world and the
glory of them. So
this is the temptation.
Now you suppose that
Jesus was tempted
by
all the kingdoms of the world
when he's the King of kings
and the Lord
of lords?
But
Jesus was in the flesh,
and he was tempted
on all points,
like as you
and I are,
yet without sin.
So he had
to be tempted in this
way. And oftentimes,
all of us will be,
every one of us will be
tempted along
this way. The enemy will
tell us in
one way or another
that, you know what, you see this?
If you do this
particular thing, you see
all of this? You
can have this
if you'll do this
particular thing.
But saints, I want
you to understand
that the Lord
is our reward.
We don't want
to do those things,
not because
there's not a
fleshly desire,
but because
we have
put,
so to speak,
we cut that
off, and we've asked the
Lord, Lord, give
me what I
need to be able
to stand the
test of time
and be able to get what
I need to get
through in
order to have what I need
to have. Let us pray.
Father in heaven, we
ask you in the name of
Jesus that
you'd rebuke the powers
of hell. We
ask you that you would make
it very plain
and clear,
that we'd be able to get
the thought out that
you would have us to get out.
We ask it
in the name of Jesus,
and we thank you
for it. In Jesus'
name, amen.
I want to
explain something to you.
You know, sometimes
when you're
preaching, it
seems like it just flows.
It
seems like the Lord just
gives it, and then
sometimes it seems like
the enemy comes and fights
you.
And so
I've heard
this said, and I
believe it with all of my
heart,
sometimes
when you get through
preaching, sometimes
I don't
particularly
go places and do
things because
you're
tired.
Maybe
45 minutes or
30, 45 minutes
of preaching.
Oftentimes
it's like
a few hours of
working out
because you're
fighting the devil.
So I want us to
understand that as we're
dealing with it. But we're going to
get the message
this is the message the Lord
gave us today,
and we're going to
get it out by the
help and the grace of God.
So
here is what the enemy
presents to you and I.
He presents to
us,
I'll give you a
reward,
but there is
generally some
condition to that
reward.
So in other words,
if you do this
particular thing, so
the devil is saying,
all these kingdoms
of the world,
I'm going to give,
and you see the glory of them,
you see that people are going to
look up to you, they're going to
do all these
things that you
may have this
desire for them to do.
Every
one of us wants to
be liked.
Every one of us
wants somebody to pat
us on the back, so to
speak, and we
are individuals
that go with common,
we like commendation.
We are
people that
are motivated by
rewards.
Take
in consideration,
every one of
us go to work
and we do the
work, not because
we maybe enjoy
the work, and we
have in our society today
that folks feel
like you should enjoy
everything that you do.
That's not necessarily the
case.
Not everybody is
going to be able to
just enjoy
the work that they do.
But what is the
reward of it? The
reward of it is
that when I go to
work, no matter
how difficult it is,
when I go to work,
I'm going to get a
paycheck on Friday.
And that paycheck
is my reward. for all that I have to put up with the co-workers, with the bosses, with the individuals that are going completely against me, I'm going to get a paycheck, and that paycheck is going to feed my family. It's going to put a roof over my head. It's going to pay the bills for the things that I enjoy doing. That's my reward. So therefore, I'm willing to put up with these things in order to get the reward. Now, suppose we had to go to work and we weren't getting anything out of it. Very few of us, if any of us, would go to work and there's no paycheck at the end of the week. We wouldn't do it. So there is an understanding that mankind has, and there is a conditioning, you might say, that we have for rewards. We have a desire to have rewards. And we're taught oftentimes that there is this, a reward in one sense is delayed gratification. I'm going to give you this, but I'm not going to give it to you until you have completed this particular task. All right, and so the Lord in the same way gives us that understanding. But the devil knows, and the devil understands that we're conditioned to want a reward. And oftentimes I wonder do you suppose that folks would even be concerned about giving their heart to the Lord if it wasn't a reward in it? All right, now, in one sense you say, well, Brother Darrell, that's not, I'm saved not because of what I'm getting out of it. I'm saved because of who God is to me. Well, He is your reward. I'm saved because He wooed me and He showed me that the best way for us to live is for us to live for Him. And so I realize, even in our day and time, there is a reward now for me living for the Lord. I'm healthier than I would be, no doubt, if I was living in sin. I'm psychologically and emotionally more healthy living for the Lord than I would if I was out in the world regretting the choices that I'm making. I talked with somebody recently that they were just disappointed in how their life goes. They're an older individual. They're in their middle age. And they say, the older I get, the worse it gets. It seems like I just can't live like I want to live. I'm getting worse and worse. And the rewards is that the enemy is telling them that you can have it and you can have it now. And so this is what they've been accustomed to. And the Lord is saying, wait a minute, you can have it, but not necessarily all of it now. All right? Let's go a little further. Hebrews 11, verse 24. Let's read that. Read it for us if you have it.
By faith, Moses.
When he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, I give a lot to Moses' mother. Moses' mother raised him, and she taught him very clearly and plainly the benefits of going the way of the Israelites, going the way of Christ. Moses was a man, a little boy, that was raised in a very rich environment. He was raised in a king's house. And he could have been, you might say, heir to the throne, or very near heir to the throne. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm not your son. I'm not willing to have that title. Because if I have that title, all the riches of Egypt is mine, isn't it? But he realized that there was something even greater than all the riches of the greatest kingdom in the world at that time. He realized that there was another kingdom that was much greater, and he wanted that reward, but he realized that on this side of eternity, he may not be thought very well of. He said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Do you realize that as you're saved, there are folks that are going to talk about you. The more you live a straight and a righteous and a holy life, folks are not going to like that. And folks are going to tell you that you don't have to live like that. You don't have to dress like that. You don't have to go to church every Sunday. You don't have to go to that church. You don't have to do all those things. And look, you guys are just bound. Have you ever had somebody say that to you? It seems like in this generation, in this day and time, we've had more opposition to what truth is than ever before in my
nearly 50 years of existence. It seems like the closer we get to the end of time, there is a stronger push against what the saints stand for. Saints, let me tell you, you stand on what the Lord has revealed to you. Let them reproach you. Let them talk about you. Let them say whatever it is that they want to say about you. But you stand on something that is solid that you know that will take you to heaven. You do that. Let them say what they're going to say. Let's go a little further on that. I want to bring this point out here a little bit more. Matthew 5 and 11 and 12. And someone get us Luke 6 and 22. Matthew 5, 11. Blessed are ye. When men shall revile you and persecute you, and they shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. They're going to do this.
Rejoice.
Now, what are we supposed to do? When men shall revile you and speak all manner of evil against you, we're supposed to get upset, aren't we? We're just human. We can't help it. Well, they said this about my Lord, and they spit on me, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And I've had about all I'm going to... Is this what the Scripture's telling us to do? No. When this happens, and let me say, it's not if it happens, it's when it happens. People are not going to like you for what you stand for. They're not going to like you for what you stand for, the things of God. And don't get a strong... Don't have a strong stand. You know, nowadays, we just live and let live. We live in a tolerant generation, don't we? And we are being conditioned to be tolerant because what happens is they push the stuff in our face and it's a shock at first, and then after a while we just kind of back off of it and it's not so much a shock anymore, and we just kind of live and let live. Well, that's the way you do it, and this is the way I do it, and it's okay. And if we make a strong stand and we begin to come against folks, and I've been in those kinds of places, that we begin to realize and stand our ground and we say, no, I'm not going to give up. You know, folks will turn against you. I'm not going to give in to this particular thing because I think it's wrong. I don't think that what you're doing is right. Do you know folks are going to revile you? Speak all men. What did it say again?
Blessed are ye
when men shall revile you and persecute you, and they shall say all manner of evil against you falsely
for my sake.
They're going to do it for the Lord's sake because of your stand for God. They're going to do that. Now, what does it say? Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So it says, you rejoice. Your reward is not on this side. Your reward is in heaven. So if you get it all mixed up in your mind and feel like I want to have it both here and there, then you're going to become discouraged. If you believe that they shouldn't be doing this thing, it says rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And let me tell you something. If they have a little coupon, I know some of you sisters probably clip for coupons and whatnot, for something free, if you go down to Kroger or Walmart or something and you buy one, get one free, you got to go there to redeem it, don't you? Well, this is, you might say, a much better coupon than any of us can have. He says, you rejoice and you make certain that you go to heaven to redeem the reward. He's not going to just send it down here to you, but you got to go to heaven in order to get it. He said, great is your reward in heaven. All right, let's read Luke, the 6th chapter, 22nd verse.
Blessed are ye.
Blessed are ye.
When men shall hate you.
Now this is... blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Hold on. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. I want us to get a hold of that. Why are they hating me? We want to be liked, don't we? All of us do. I don't think that there's anybody here. You know, some of us kind of can get a little, I'm going to use the word attitude. Well, I don't care if they like me or not. Let them do whatever they want to. But deep down inside, there's something in mankind that really wants to be accepted. We're social beings. And we live in a society. And we want people to like us. Now, some can take it way too far. That they're bowing down and doing everything that everybody wants and twisting themselves up in a pretzel. And everybody still doesn't like them. That's unbalanced. But there is nothing wrong with us having a desire for men not to hate us.
All right, but we have to understand that now I need to identify something. I need to identify whether or not this hatred is coming because of what I stand for. When you stand for what is right, and let me tell you, you don't have to go and tell everybody that no, everything that they're doing is wrong. We don't do that. If somebody is doing something, we don't just walk up to them and say what you're doing is wrong. Not in a general context. But there are times that folks know where we stand. And they know what our position is. And people don't like that position. And what we need to make certain of, saints of God, is that our position is standing on the Word of God. Amen. That I need not my opinion, not what I think is best, and not me being my old stubborn, us being our old stubborn selves, but it is that this is what I understand the Word of God to be, and I can't move. I can't move off of this position. And so therefore, blessed are ye when men hate you as a result of your loving the Lord, of your stand for Christ. You are blessed to hold on to what you know is right for the Lord than to have this person love you. All right, so blessed are ye. Read.
When men shall hate you.
When they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now this is, Brother Calvin brought out a situation today that when he had a clarity and understanding on a particular matter, folks stopped inviting him to their little fellowships, to their little family gatherings because of where his stand was. Now, if it had been just Brother Calvin's stand, and this is what he's been very boisterous about, and it's not the stand on the Scripture, then maybe he needs to recant that, take a look at what his position is, and deal with it from that standpoint. But when it's the stand that God makes and God gives to us, saints, we have to stand there. Blessed are ye when men hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice. What does it say? Rejoice ye in that day. And what does it say? Leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe to you that are rich. That's good enough. For you have received your consolation. You've already got your reward. But what the Lord is wanting to tell us, saints, is we're going to face some things. We're going to face some trials. Some tribulations. We're going to face some things that are very difficult for us while we're on this side of eternity. What are we to do? We're not to give in. Amen. He says in one place, blessed if ye endure to the end, the same shall be saved. You know what endure means? It means to put up with some things. We're going to have to put up with some things in order to get to heaven, saints. But our reward is over there. It's over there. Can you imagine what it's going to be? Have you ever thought about what it's going to be like when we get to heaven? And I think about it like this. There is an eternity. We know that. Every single one of us, none of us are so naive as to believe that we're not. This physical body is not going to die. It is going to die. All of us are going to die. And the interesting thing is none of us know exactly when we're going to die. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be next year. We don't know, but we need to be ready because there's a reward over on the other side. It doesn't matter what you've done. You're going to reap what you sow. And you're going to be rewarded for the work that you've done on this side of eternity. Now let's just think about eternity for a moment. Eternity, how long is eternity? Forever. It's infinite. It goes on and on and on. And I don't know how folks don't believe that there is an eternity. There are all kinds of signs all around us showing us that there is an eternity, that there is a place of foreverness. The further as we go into the universe, we've often used this as an example. The Lord shows us every time that we look up into the sky, it reminds us, it should remind us of eternity. Yes. You heard about the black holes and light years and how far the planets are away from us. The further you go, then you can get to Mars and the what's the furthest planet away from us? Pluto?
get to there. I don't know how many light years away it is, but let me tell you, as far as we know, it's that many more light years away in the universe. It tells us about eternity, doesn't it? And so, wouldn't it make sense for us to make certain, if I have control, if you have control over where you're spending eternity, doesn't it make sense in the little window of time that you have of 100 years? If I were to ask every one of us if we thought we were going to live to be 100, very few, if any, of us believe that we are. My life, I'm certain, is half over. I'm pretty certain. And the majority of us adults, our lives, 40s and 50s, at least in your 40s, your life is half over. Your usefulness in life is half over. And so you got a little bit more time, this window of time. And little children, teenagers, young people, I guarantee you, you can go and Google something and find something on the internet that somebody your age passed away in the last week. Tomorrow's not guaranteed to any of us. So let's make certain that in this little window of time that we have, that we're preparing for the reward that God wants to give us. All right? Scripture says in one place, it says the wages of sin is what? Death. That's the reward of sin. If you decide that you're going to live in sin, nobody's going to make you not live in sin. I wish we could. You know what? If I could, I would make every person that I ever met, I would make them live for the Lord. But that's not how it works, is it? So the scripture says the wages of sin is death. And so every person that has not given their heart to the Lord, has not repented of their sins, has not asked the Lord, Lord, I want you to come in. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want you to be to me what you have died to be to me. And they have not confessed and forsaken their sins. Every person is going to get a reward. And that reward of sin is death. And not just in a death on this side of eternity, but an eternal death, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. There is a place called hell. There's a place called heaven. We must believe that, and we must prepare for the reward that God wants to give us. Great is our reward in heaven, but we must prepare for it. All right? All right, let's go to Matthew 16, verse 27. Right, the Son of Man shall come with the glory of his Father,
with his angels.
He shall reward every man according to his work. So it's fair, if we were to say, wouldn't it be fair if you went to your job and you worked a 50-hour work week, and they're supposed to pay you overtime, and they paid you overtime. Wouldn't that be fair? For you to get everything that you worked for, and you clocked the time, and you punched the time clock, and you did everything that you were supposed to do, and they paid you for what you did. That's fair, isn't it? Now, it would not be fair if you did the work, and your boss said, you know what, we're not going to pay you this week because we just don't have the money, and we're wanting to save it, and we're wanting to give a little bit of money to the people on the board. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take your salary and we're going to give it to the board members. And so therefore, you're working not for yourself and not for what you need, but for them. All right? Now, would that be fair?
No.
All right. Okay, so let's read that scripture again.
Son of Man shall come in the
glory of his Father with his angels. He shall reward
every man
according to his works. Now, in the same clarity of understanding, the same understanding, it's fair that you get what you work for. So if you
by the grace of God, endeavor to live according to what God wants you, the way God wants you to live, then you have a reward. And you are to get the benefits of that reward. But if you, for some reason, determine in your mind that you're going to live in sin, isn't it fair that he gives you the reward that you worked for? You worked for it. You earned it. So this is why it makes no sense, church, for a person to live 50, 60 years in sin and spend an eternity separated from God. It doesn't matter why. You know, I heard somebody say because they've gotten mad at somebody at church, they're not going to come to church anymore. That's foolish. Don't lose your soul because you're mad at somebody. And do you realize every one of us have been offended in some way or another? And probably we've been offended by the folks that feel like we've offended them. But at some point, what we have to do is we have to understand, Lord, in whatever it takes for me to gain this reward, I'm willing to set everything aside. I'm willing to do whatever I have to do. I'm willing to get the grace of God that I need in my soul so that I can stand right and justified before you. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. I want my reward in heaven. I don't want a reward down here. Do you realize that a reward down here is just temporary, but a reward over there is something that is eternal? I'll be with the Lord throughout all eternity. I'll be able to do whatever I want to do. You'll be able to do whatever you want to do. We must make it to heaven, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter what we face, no matter what we come up against. Heaven at any cost. Nothing is too expensive, because the song, I want to learn that song, that we got the best of the trade. The Lord has given us something, but we've got to meet the condition in order for us to get the reward. Lord, I've got to meet the condition of salvation, the conditions in your word, in order for me to get the reward of heaven. But I want to read another scripture. Let's turn to Genesis, the 15th chapter, and I want to read verse 1. Genesis 15, verse 1.
After these things,
the Lord, word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying,
Fear not, Abram,
I am thy shield,
and I am thy exceeding
great reward. The Lord is our shield. The Lord is our exceeding great reward. So what is he saying? It's not just that our reward is going to be in heaven. It is that he is our reward. So when we submit ourselves and we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins, and we submit ourselves and we ask him to come and live and reign with us, there is a reward that I have just for living for the Lord. There is a satisfaction that there is, my desires are fulfilled because I am striving by the grace of God to live. I have him. He is my possession. And all that is his is mine. That I can ask what I will, whatever it is. I can seek the Lord for the healing of my body, for the healing of my soul, for whatever it is that I need. The Lord is my reward. He is the thing that he gives himself to us. What does the scripture say? For God so loved the world that what did he do? He gave his only begotten son. That's my reward. And what is heaven but a fulfillment of everything that is God? So what we look at and what we must look at, the reason that I rejoice when men revile, the reason that the scripture encourages us to rejoice when men revile us and hate us and separate us, is because that is one of the things that we know in our heart, that we have the Lord, because they don't like what I've got. They don't like what I have. And let me tell you, it motivates us, doesn't it? It motivates. What motivates me to get to heaven is because that sometimes, I've heard you testify, and we've testified, all of us have testified of what God has done for us and how he has given us what we needed in our souls. And as a result of that, what did we want? We wanted a little bit more. So we don't come to church because we're forced to do it, I trust. We come because there's something there that God wants to leave me, and there is something that I can take home with me and help me to cultivate this love that I have for Him a little bit better. And then there's this camaraderie, there's this fellowship that I have with His people that I gain strength. We gain strength one from another, don't we? Thank the Lord for that. So He says to Abram, He says, I am thy shield, and I'm your exceeding great reward. So heaven is not, it's just the full essence of who God is. But knowing Him in His fullness, that's our reward. And what we're striving to do when we read the Scripture, when we have our devotion, and when we pray and we seek the Lord, what we're striving to do is have a greater fullness of who He is. I want more of you in my life. I want more of this. Do anybody here thinks that they could get more, too much money? Yeah. We were talking about that the other day. One of the CEOs making what, $6 million a year and had a bonus of $14 million. Now what can one person do with $20 million in 1 year? I'd like the Lord to give me $20 million. Wouldn't go to my head either. After I got through giving it all away, I'd give quite a bit of it. I'd set some aside. Don't get me wrong. But I'd give a whole bunch of it away. I see that the work of the Lord was going forward like it needs to. Lord, help us. All right. So, Revelations 2 and 10.
Fear none of those things.
Yes.
Which thou shalt suffer.
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. He's going to cast some. Don't fear what you're going to suffer. Because sometimes the fear deters us from doing what we know the Lord would have us to do. Do you know that we have to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to overcome fear?
Yeah. Yeah.
And no doubt the majority of us have experienced it at some point in our lives. The fear, sometimes the fear of rejection. We don't like to be rejected. And so the fear of rejection prevents us from doing what we know the Lord would have us to do. So He said, don't fear those things. All right, read.
That you may be tried.
You may be tried.
You shall have tribulation 10 days.
You shall have tribulation 10 days.
Be thou faithful unto death.
But I want you to be faithful unto death.
And I will give thee a crown of life.
And I will give you a crown of life. Now what does He say? I want you to be faithful. Here's the condition. I want you to be faithful. Don't fear. I want you to be faithful unto death. You're going to have a lot of things that come against you. You're going to have a lot of reasons to set down, a lot of reasons to stop, a lot of reasons to say, you know what, I can't go any further. We've been there, haven't we? Lord, I don't believe I can put one foot in front of the other. I can't do this anymore. How many times have we been tempted to say that? Lord, I can't do it anymore. It's too much. But He says, don't fear, but you be faithful. When you can't go on, you stand. You don't go any further, but you stand until the Lord comes and rescues you. Lord, I'm not going back. I'm not giving up. I don't feel like I can go one step further, but Lord, you've got to pour strength in me. This is what He's done for several folks in the Scripture. When you go to Job, what does Job say? Lord, I don't know where to go, but you know the way that I take. I look for you here, I look for you there, but Lord, I'm tired. And the Lord, He said, the Lord knows the way that I take. When He is trying me, I will come forth as pure gold. What that tells us is there is no opportunity, no option, shall we say, no option for me to go back on the Lord. None whatsoever. That is not even part of my vocabulary. Don't even bring it to me. Don't even say to us that I'm going to go back into the ways of sin because the way of salvation is too hard. No way that that's going to happen. I'm going to get a reward by the grace of God. You're going to get a reward by the grace of God. Be thou faithful unto death. We don't know when death is. It could be just right around the corner. Saints, stand firm. Stand true to the Lord. Be faithful unto death. And you're going to have a reward in the end. There's going to be something that's far greater than all that you've ever had to deal with. All the hatred that you've ever had to address. All of the reproach that you've had to deal with. Nobody likes you. No, they don't like the way you dress. They don't like the way you do this. They don't like the way you stand. They don't like anything about you. You be faithful unto death. There's a reward that's coming. There's a reward. I believe that with all of my heart.
Be faithful. And so you know what? There is this reward that motivates our actions, doesn't it? It motivates us. It motivates us to do what we're doing. I've got to make it to heaven by the grace of God. All right, let's go to Matthew 10 and 22. Yes.
And he that endureth to the end shall be saved.
Have you noticed how in our generation that there is, it seems like, a strong move against Christianity? And there are a lot of folks that it's okay to be a nominal Christian, just one by name only, but it's not okay to be a good, solid saint anymore. You get opposition from a whole lot of folks just by being a good, solid, settled saint. I never thought this would happen. I didn't see it coming. But I see it. It's here. But you be faithful. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. I want us to read another scripture in closing. Leviticus 26, verse 3. I want to deal with a few points here. All right, this is the Lord speaking to the children of Israel. If you walk in my statutes
and keep my commandments,
and you keep my commandments,
and do them,
and you do them,
then I will give you rain in due season.
I will give you rain in due season. This is the Lord's rewards here on this side of eternity. There is a benefit to us obeying the word of God. It's a benefit to us just doing what we know according to Scripture we're to do. All right, read.
And the land shall yield her increase.
Land shall yield her increase.
And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit.
Trees of the field shall yield her their fruit.
And your threshing
shall reach unto the vintage.
And the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time.
And ye shall eat your bread to the full.
And dwell in your land
safely.
And I will give peace
in the land.
And ye shall lie down.
None shall make you afraid.
And I will rid
evil beasts
out of the land.
Neither shall the sword go through your land.
And ye shall
chase your enemies,
and they shall fall
before you by the sword.
And
five of you shall chase 100.
And
100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight.
And your enemies
shall fall before you by the sword.
For I will have respect
unto you,
and make you fruitful,
and multiply
you,
and establish my covenant with you.
And
ye shall eat old store,
and bring forth
the old because of the new.
And
I will set my tabernacle among you,
and my soul
shall not abhor
you.
I will walk among
you,
and I will be your God,
and ye shall
be my people.
I am
the Lord your God,
which brought
you forth out of the land of
Egypt,
that ye should not be their bondmen,
and
I have broken the bands
of your yokes,
and made you go up.
Right.
Made you go upright.
Now, what did he say?
If you keep my
statutes,
these are the conditions
that
you'll get the reward.
If
you keep my
statutes
and you keep my
commandments
and do them,
then
I will do all these things. So I want us to understand that it's part of our motivation is not just to get to heaven, but part of the motivation is that the Lord shows us that he's our reward. Number one, the Lord God is our reward. I want more of him. We want more of him. We want to be more like you, Lord. We want to be more, have more of what you are to us. And so if we keep his statutes and we keep his commandments, our life will go easier. Now, it may be that the folks out there don't like us and whatnot, but God will be able to do some things for us that he can't do if we don't keep his statutes. I was dealing with a situation not too terribly long ago. and asking the Lord about how to handle a particular thing and what my part in it was to do. And the Lord said in one place, I thought, well, I'd be willing to give this person this particular thing. But even though they didn't deserve it, I didn't feel like they deserved it, but I would have been willing to give them a particular thing. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know, I could give a person everything that they need. I have everything that anybody needs. And I could give that to them. I can bless them with it. But I don't give those things to them unless they meet certain conditions. And so there is a condition to the blessing. We must meet the condition, and then God pours out the blessing. If we don't meet the condition, then God doesn't pour out the blessing. So in the same way here, the benefit to us is if we walk in his statutes and we keep his commandments to do them, then God will send rain in due season. He'll bless you in the way that you desire him to bless you. You'll have a reward not just on the other side of eternity, but on this side as well. And so it behooves us, it is in our best interest to do all that we can to be all that God wants us to be. Lord, help me, we say to ourselves. Lord, help us that we would be in a place, in a position to do all that you would desire us to do. We want to walk in your statutes. We want to keep your commandments. We desire the reward that you have for us, not the reward that this world has for us. Because you know what? There's a reward that folks, you can do things for folks and they can pat you on the back and they can think highly of you and they talk about all the things that you've done, but that's your reward. That's your reward. But what we want to hear is, Lord, by your grace, I don't want to hear what everybody else has to say. I want to hear these words. I don't want to hear, depart from me. Amen. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. That's my reward. That's what we're all desiring. That's what we're all looking for. Saints, we won't get it unless we're faithful to the end. Let the things that we're dealing with be our motivation to be faithful to the Lord. No matter what it is, no matter how folks hate us, what they say about us, be thou faithful unto death, and you'll receive a crown of life.